Gary W's from Baltimore.
What a big crowd. I'm an addict named Gary.
Hey, Gary.
Okay. I was thinking about this topic, We Do Recover. When I think about it, it sounds like it's too automatic for me. It should say we have a choice to recover, because, you know, recovery doesn't come easy. Abstinence does not equal recovery. Just because we get clean, that doesn't mean that we're going to recover. Recovery is a commitment to yourself to do the things you need to do to get better. Because I know when I first came around, I tried all the things. I tried to catch recovery by osmosis. I found out you can't dance with somebody who's got more recovery than you. It doesn't rub off. Recovery's not sexually transmitted, so you can't sleep with somebody who's got more time than you have. It's a commitment to yourself. I can remember when I was out there using, towards the end, I'd have moments of clarity where I'd sit back and think, all I want to do is just be normal, to love and to be loved, to learn how to be honest, to learn how to communicate, do something to live a normal life. And it wasn't until I found the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous I was offered that opportunity. But that opportunity comes with a price. There's a lot of pain involved in recovery, man. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it for you. In order to recover, it takes a lot of look on the inside, because recovery is a healing on the inside of the spirit. Now, if you were like me, when I was out there, and even when I first came around to recovery, success was measured and acceptance was measured by myself on the outside. If I had the right job, if I had the best looking old lady, if I had the house, these all meant, from growing up and watching, that's what society showed me was a successful person. And I did that when I first came around to recovery. I got the wife and I got the house and the two cars and the little boy. And life was going grand. But I had put everything, I put all my recovery on the back burner because all these things were more important. Looking good on the outside was more important than looking good on the inside. And my spiritual awakening to recovery came with 5.5 years clean, when my wife and I decided that we didn't want to be married anymore. And I was laying in the bed in a fetal position crying. I didn't know what to do. What I had found from that, and it was a beautiful thing, not to be facetious or anything, but it was a beautiful thing because it got me in touch with what I needed to do. I had to learn that the happiness that I was looking for and the recovery that I needed had to come from the inside and not on the outside things that I had. And today, those things that can be taken from me, you know, I could lose my job tomorrow, I could wreck my car. But what you can't take from me is the things that I've got inside of my heart now and inside of my spirit that I've got from recovery. You know, when I came around, or when I was out on the streets, I didn't know anything about, I had to come in here to learn how to live all over again. And I got that from people like you guys sitting out here. I couldn't get it out on the streets, because out on the streets, the only thing was, is you walked around with a facade on, the front on, and you went about your business. You couldn't tell anybody out on the streets how you were feeling, or that you were a little sad or something was going on, because where I grew up, that was a sign of you being a punk, bottom line. And what I did is I came here and I got a dose of reality, and I was told that drugs were not my problem, I was the problem, and I needed to do some work and I needed to change some things. And I said, change what? And they said, change everything. Because I was the kind of person who thought he had all the answers. I just didn't even know the question, man. I didn't know how to live. I didn't know how to communicate. I didn't know how to be compassionate. I didn't know anything. And staying around here, I got what I needed by first starting to work the steps and get a relationship with the God of my understanding. And I had to work and dig and dig. And see, that's hard for a person like me, because I'm lazy and I don't want to write. And when I get to a painful part, I stop. I shut down. But I've learned since I've been around here that I've got to continue doing what I'm doing in order to get to where I need to go. And I found that answer through the steps, man. I've learned to be honest through the steps. I've learned to be open-minded through the steps. I've learned to be willing. I've learned to take responsibility. And that was something that wasn't even in my story when I was out there. Responsibility was nowhere to be found in my story. That was for some other punk or some other chump to take for me. Because my thing was, is I like to be the victim. As long as I could blame all the shit that was going on in my life on somebody else, I could continue to co-sign the dumb shit that I was doing. And what I found out through coming in here and learning to grow up through baby steps, that I needed to take responsibility for me and my actions. And I found out through the steps how to do that. No, like I said, when I was out there, I had no means or no communication skills. I was compassionate to no one because I was so consumed with self-centeredness. And even today, I can still see my self-centeredness kick up. You know, and I had no empathy for anybody. Today, I have empathy for people. I can share your pain with you and be there for you. I couldn't be there for anybody when I was out on the streets, man. I was the kind of person, if you were laying on the street quivering and you were partying with us and you fell down or something, my thing wasn't to call 911 or to get you some help. My thing was to rifle your pockets first and then go do what I had to do. Today it's not like that, man. You know, and I was thinking about we do recover when I was on vacation this week, because during my recovery, like I said, I was given the gift by God of a son in my relationship. My relationship, that's another thing. Even though we are broke up today, I've learned through recovery, my ex-wife that's in recovery, we both learned to be able to end a relationship on a happy note. You know, before, if I ended a relationship, it was all about that B and this and that and what she did to me. And today it's like sometimes people are put in your life for a reason for a certain period of time. And then sometimes we just grow apart. That's all there is to it. But I had the opportunity this week to go on vacation with my son. And never in my life have I ever put anybody's needs in front of mine until I got clean. Mine was the only, I was so caught up in that triangle of self-obsession that it wasn't funny when I was out there. But through staying around here a few years, and you know, it doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen with a lot of long period of time. It's a continual process. And all I have to do is show up and continue in this process, man. And I spent this time with my son and his. And today I know that his needs come before mine, you know. We want to do something. It's what he would like to do, what makes him happy today. And there's times that I'll say, you know, damn, I'd rather do this. But now I can allow somebody else's needs to be just a little bit more important than myself. These are the things that recovery offers you. It's not the things on the outside that we get. It's the things on the inside, learning to live a productive life. That's what it's all about, man. This thing's about learning to grow up. You know, when I first came around here, they talked about you need to grow up. And that pissed me off when I got here. I didn't want to hear that when somebody told me that. But then I took a look at through the steps of, you know, how the patterns of my life and my behaviors and stuff like that. I found out that that's a harsh reality, man. You know, when somebody told me when I first come around things that I didn't want to hear, I got angry, but I've learned after a while being around here to take a look at what they told me. And did they tell me in a loving, caring way the things I need to change, and I'll take a look at changing those things. That's what we're all here for, man. We're here to help each other, learn to grow up, learn to be productive members of society. You know, and it's not all about coming into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and giving everybody a hug and sharing all this really neat stuff and this and that. It's about how you live the other 23 hours outside of this place, man. Do you live it the way that you talk it? And I try to the best of my ability. I fall short like everybody else because I've allowed myself to make mistakes because I'm a human being. I just pick myself back up. Today I can say, hey, look, I was wrong, or I'm sorry, and go on about my business. I never took responsibility and told anybody I was sorry before because anytime my feelings got hurt or somebody or something else was involved, it was always somebody else's fault. But today I know that I need to take responsibility for me and go ahead and do what I need to do. Recovery for me is just about living skills, man, learning how to live. And there's points and times in my recovery, even with a few years clean, because I got clean in January 1992, that I'll wake up and I'll come across a situation and I'll be confused. Or I won't know how to handle it. Or I'll react in a certain way. And what I've learned today is to ask for some help. You know, with 10 years clean, almost 11 years clean, I call my sponsor each and every day just to let him know as my part of my willingness to my recovery and my commitment to our relationship, I call him each and every day. And if there's a point in time that I have a situation that I'm having a problem with or something comes up that I ask for some help, I would have never done that when I was out on the streets. I had to learn to become humble in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and say, sometimes I don't know. It's not about the great I am anymore. You know, I can remember a time, even when I first came around, that when something like that came up, the first thing I would do is, I'm not asking for no help because that's a sign of weakness. I'll try to figure it out myself. Or I'll wait around until then. And by then, or push it to the side. I was good at that, pushing things down and stuffing them. But I found one thing, though, you can push and you can stuff all you want, but they're going to come back up sooner or later to haunt you. And you need to find some help and you need to take care of those things right then and there. I just drew a blank here for a minute. But I'll tell you, this growing up process called recovery has been beautiful for me. You know, I see it working in aspects of my life when I'm not even expecting it. And that's where you know that you're working, you're sticking inside the process. When things come up and you act or you react as a normal human being or you react out of love, then you know this thing is starting to work. Because when I first came around here, I only came around here with fear in my heart and a little bit of hope. But people kept telling me that this would work, this would work, this would work if we stick and stayed and we did what we need to recover. And I did that. And it hasn't been a pleasant journey. There has been pain in my recovery. When I had about 3 years clean, I had had a resentment against my mother for 16 years. I hadn't seen her in 16 years. And I was talking to my brother one day who was in recovery at the time and talking all, you know, how we like to talk about, yeah, well, you know, when the time comes and I'm going to do this step, I'm going to make my amends with mom. Well, just so happened, he called me the next day. He says, well, look, man, if you're going to make those amends, you better make them now because she's in the hospital and she's getting ready to die. Well, see, I was talking all that stuff, but the fear set in and I didn't know what to do. I knew that I had to do it, but I didn't know what to do. And what I did is I called people in my sponsor, and I called people in my network, and I talked to people, man. I said, look, I'm scared, but I got to do this. And that night, I went up to the hospital, and I made my amends with this woman and asked her to forgive me and told her that I loved her. And then I said, I'll be back tomorrow. And the hospital called me the next day and told me, you don't have to come up here, man. She's passed away last night. But that's the beautiful thing about recovery, because I was able to get the information and the help I needed to go take care of the things that I needed to take care of so I didn't have to harbor and carry that guilt around the rest of my life. When it talks about these steps of this recovery, it's about getting rid of that old baggage, man, getting rid of that old guilt, because I don't know about anybody else, man, but I walked around in guilt and shame for a long time, and I got sick and tired of carrying it. And like I said, when I first came around, I met this girl, and we la-di-da, and we went out for a little while, and we got married, and things were going great, and I was a great I am. And then that relationship ended. I had to go and see my sponsor again, crying like a baby, and he just told me to walk through the pain, and you'll get through it. And the neat thing is I didn't have to get high over it. She didn't have to get high over it. And we both celebrated 10 years last year. That's really neat. That's all part of the recovery process, man. Because I didn't use over things that happened in my life, the major things in life. I don't know about anybody else, but mine was a direct result of pain. It was the way I was feeling. It was a direct result of my feelings that I used. I didn't use because of the things that happened in my life. It was the pain that followed. And I learned that in early recovery when I was around here and I came around and I started feeling again. I had to learn what to do with those feelings, because they said, it's easy not to use when you come around here. Just don't pick up. I mean, how smart do you have to be for that? But you also have to learn how to deal with the feelings and what to do in order not to pick up. Because not picking up was easy for me, but when those feelings came around, the first thing I wanted to do, and what I did all my life, is when there was a lot of pain, I tried to medicate myself or run and hide and stuff. And I had to learn how not to run and hide and to face fears. And it was a hard thing to do, man. It was a hard thing for me to tell somebody how I was feeling because of that male ego. That ego and that pride was a killer for me when I first came around. It took me almost 2 years in recovery to learn how to tell somebody that I was sad or that I was lonely or that I was feeling this way and that way. Because men just didn't, when I was growing up, see, that's the part, the process of recovery, learn how to do these things, because I didn't do that growing up. You didn't tell another man that you were sad. You didn't tell another man that you were lonely. You didn't tell somebody that. And I had to learn to build that kind of relationship with another man, and I started with my sponsor. And who taught me how to do that? The people in recovery. When I had things that I knew that I could talk, that I couldn't talk about outside to other normal people because they just wouldn't understand, I could come in here and find somebody and say, hey, man, this is what I'm going through. And there's somebody in the room that went through the same thing I'm going through. That's what it's all about for me, man. Phew. It's only 3:10. I'll tell you a little bit about where I came from, man. So you can understand, because like I tell the people back home, if I can stay clean, anybody can stay clean. If I can learn to recover, anybody can learn to recover. I used drugs for about 10 years, and for the next 10 years, drugs used me. Bottom line, I got to the point where I didn't care about anybody, anything. I had no feelings whatsoever. The only feeling that I had inside of me was fear. And I covered that up with anger, bottom line. It didn't matter who I hurt, what I hurt, how I got what I wanted. I always got what I wanted somehow, some way. And the people that loved me the most would tell me, man, look, you need to get some help. I said, no, look, I'm not hurting any. The most dumbest thing I ever said was, I'm not hurting anybody else but myself. Just if you leave me alone, I'll be all right. And what I found is these people truly, truly loved me. Something I had looked for all my life. But I just couldn't accept it then, because I was just, the disease had just got me to a point to where I was controlled by total self-centeredness. And it was, like I said, there was points and times in my using that I knew deep down inside that I didn't want to live that way anymore, man. And it came to a point, I'd say about 3 weeks before I got clean, I'd hooked up with a buddy of mine who just got out of jail. We got high, I wrecked my car, and I don't, you know, you remember the poor me's? Oh, poor me, and this and that, and this and that. I went home, I wrote a goodbye note to everybody, and I woke up with a loaded 357 on my chest, cops. What that told me was God had other plans for me. When I look back on it today, God had other plans for me. When I did a four-step, when I came to recovery, I did what I needed to do to stay here because of the fear. Like I said, because of the fear. I was afraid to go out there and live the way that I was living anymore. And I dove into the steps at first. And when I got to the fourth step, you know, I'd heard all those horror stories about, oh man, the mean fourth step, man, you got this and that and this and that. Well, you know what? The fourth step was a piece of cake because I'd already lived all that stuff. I'd already done it. All it was about was me putting it down on paper. If you want to stick around and find out just how sick you are and get your rear end kicked, the sixth step is the one for that. But when I was doing the fourth step, one thing my sponsor told me to look for was patterns. Don't worry about all the bad things you did. Look at the patterns that made you become the person that you had become. Take a look at them. And through a lot of deep soul searching and a lot of hard writing, I found out things. And as I stay around here and I still continue to work the steps today, I just finished the second sixth step. I continue to find out just how sick I am. The longer you stay around here, they say, the easier it gets, don't believe it. The longer you stay around here, the more willingness it takes to stay clean. Because I've seen a lot of people with a lot of time just, you know, they stop coming to meetings, they stop showing up for their commitments, and the next thing you know, you hear about it through the rumor mill, no matter how much you try to stay away from it, that so-and-so had 13 years and he's out there again, or she's out there again. And I've went to a lot of funerals, man, so I know that I need to stay committed and willing to do the things that I need to do because I don't want to go out there no more. I know I have a relapse in me. I just don't know if I have another recovery left in me. I don't think my ego or my pride, if I went out today, would allow me to come back in here and humble myself. That is the reason that I continue to do the things that I need to do. And, you know, after a while, after being around here for a while, you get a little lazy, and they got this word called complacency, and I hate to hear that word, but I fit into that. I put things on the back burner to do this and to do that, but I always come back to doing what I need to do. And you know what usually brings me back? A good motivator is pain, if anybody can relate to that. Because pain will do two things. Pain will get you back to where you're supposed to be, or pain will take your ass right back outside to where you need to be. Because the corners are always going to be there. Another thing that recovery has done for me is allowed me to do some of my, you know, begin to dream again. I don't know about anybody else, but the last thing that active addiction took from me was my dream, my ability to dream. You know, I talked about this and I talked about that, and we'll go here and plan this and plan that and never leave the bar stool or my house when I was out there. Since I've been in recovery, I've learned to make commitments and learn to loosen up and do things that I need to do, and I've been able to travel all over the place. I've been to meetings and conventions from Florida across to Arizona and up to Philadelphia and down. I've went on trips, on NA trips, and had fun and stuff like that. I've had the ability to go and do these things because I've learned how to make commitments to my, not only to others, but to myself, to enjoy my life. That's another gift that recovery gives us, is the ability to enjoy life again. You know, when I first came around, I thought about how are these people going to have fun if they're not getting high. I never did a thing. I never spoke a word without having something in me. So I couldn't relate to anybody having any kind of fun, let alone talking to somebody else. Another thing I had to do through sticking around, and part of recovery is enjoying life. I had to learn how to have fun all over again. And you people taught me how to do that, man. My life is nice and full today. I don't get to as many meetings as I used to. That's because my life has changed with my 8-year-old and stuff like this and my work schedule. But I still have the willingness and I still make that commitment to do the things that I need to do. But NA is not my life today. It's what keeps me alive and it's what gives me a life, but I have other things. As we come around here, we get more and more responsibilities. We learn to become responsible. We learn to take on things, and God will put gifts in our lives that require responsibility, and sometimes that takes up some of our time. But one thing I'll never do is forget where I came from and forget where I get my life from, and that's from Narcotics Anonymous. I plan on sticking and staying in this process, hopefully until the day I die. But the only thing I can do is live one day at a time, man. I got today. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I might not wake up tomorrow, so I got to live life to the fullest today and do the things that I need to do today. Like I said, my recovery has not been 100% pure. I don't believe there is anything as such as 100% grade A recovery. I believe that I've done the best that I can do since I've been around, and I've reaped the rewards from doing the best that I can do. I believe that God tells us as long as we show willingness, He'll give us that extra push that we need. You know, it's been wild because there's been things happening in my life. I've had, when I got separated, I had financial problems and car troubles, but you know, I stuck and stayed in it, and I talked about it, and I believed, and I had faith and trust, and all of a sudden, things got better. Things got better. You know, when you're in it, nobody wants to hear that stuff when you hang in there. Things will get better. It'll be all right. You know, just have some faith and trust in it. But I've learned now to rely more on God and less on myself. And there's still times that I'll kick and scream and holler. You know, I heard when first come around, this too shall pass and all that other stuff. Or I just turned it over. I used to like that when I heard people. I just turned it over. And it took me a while to turn things over, because when I first came around, the way I turned things over was I kicked and screamed and hollered. Tried to change it to the point to where it went my way, and finally what I had to do was surrender. Bottom line, and today things get a whole lot easier. As you go on and you stick and stay in the process, things get a little bit easier. We become, it becomes more of a nature to do the right thing. It becomes more of a nature. I believe there's two ways that you can approach life. You can approach life through love, or you can approach life through self. And on days, you know, there'll be days where I have a little bit of both. And I go through my little things, and, you know, we're not subject to no pain or nothing like that, but I try to the best of my ability to live life through love, to treat people the way that I've wanted to be treated, to do the right thing for the right reason, to show up like I'm supposed to. These are things I learned in recovery. And like I said, I have my days where I want to say to hell with NA. I don't want to go around in people. The phone still weighs 10,000 pounds sometimes. But that's when I need, that's a wake-up call for me. That means there's something going on inside of me that I might need to take a look at. You know, before it was just, I'll take care of it later. But I can't afford now to let things like that lay too long. What recovery's taught me is I need to get in touch with what's going on with me now so I can get out of that space and back into living a life that, I lost my breath there for a minute. Living a life of love. Because you know what? I don't care what anybody says. I know for me, that's all I've ever looked for all my life, man. That's all I've ever looked for all my life. I just wanted to love and be loved. I couldn't say that until after I got to recovery, but that's all I've looked for. And I found out in order to receive love, you have to give love. And you find that through an understanding with the God of your understanding, a relationship with the God of your understanding. If there's no other relationship you get into in recovery, believe me, the most important relationship is that relationship with God. Because with that, you know, when I first came around here, somebody told me, says, what do you want to get in a relationship for? You don't have anything to offer a relationship. And it didn't click until I had a little bit of time. And they told me the first and foremost relationship that you need to get into is a relationship with the God of your understanding, and everything else will fall into place. And I find out that the steps are a trickling point towards that relationship with God. The more we work on ourselves, the more we're getting closer to being God-centered rather than self-centered. The obsession of self starts to be lifted a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. And I don't know if it'll ever be fully lifted. I doubt it. There'll always be a part of me that's self-centered. But I don't have to react to all that self-centeredness. And that's what recovery's taught me. And I'm running out of things to talk about. Tell you God's honest truth. And I want to be honest with you, so I want to thank y'all for letting me share. I'm going to sit down.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Gary. Now, the next speaker is Tim. He's also from Baltimore. Would you give a warm welcome to Tim?
Yeah. Yeah. Hello, everybody. My name is Tim. I'm an addict. First of all, I'd like to thank my higher power for just allowing me to show up today. And that's what I do today. I show up. I was introduced by being from Baltimore. And we traveled up here not only to do a meeting, to share our experience and our hopes, but also to do recovery. And by coming to retreats, spiritual retreats, conventions, or whatever tools that we have in the fellowship and recovery, anything we do is a part of our recovery. To me, it is. I was like kind of dope fiend up here, you know, duped up here because I didn't know I was going to speak until a couple of days ago. And my grand sponsor was asking me over and over, man, you got to go, you got to go. So he volunteered me to speak. And see, I'm a very egotistic person, you know, but tell you the truth, I'm here to tell on my disease. I'm up here today, I'm scared to death, you know. Why? I tell you the truth, why? Because I've never been on tape before, be honest with you, you know. I cannot lie because it will be, it will be copies made, you know. And I love doing meetings because that's what works for me in my recovery. I do meetings, I expose my disease as much as I can, you know. I share a lot, I do a lot of activities in and out of the rooms, but I think it's really important to qualify myself for the newcomers, the old-timers, or whatever it is, man, you know, just to show you that the pain, the unmanageability of my life, what I went through to get to these rooms. You know, my story is similar to everybody else's, man. I used hard. I had 3 major drugs of choice. Anything, everything, and more. I did everything I possibly could to destroy me, you know. But at the time I was doing it, I did not understand what I was doing. I defined it as having a ball, partying, I was a soldier, blah, blah, blah. But the end results all came the same. Who's an addict describes jails, institutions, and death. You know, I've been in a lot of institutions, been in a lot of jails, and I was on my way to death, being dead, but I didn't know how to lay down. I was spiritually dead and didn't know how to really do anything about it. What I did was, see, the recovery to me means to surrender. Until I completely surrender, recovery did not work for me. And it probably won't work for nobody else neither until you get completely honest with yourself and say to yourself that you do have a problem. There is a better way. See, misinformed people, misinformed information I was taught growing up. From people, some good people, some bad people, but it seemed like I gravitated to all the negatives because when I was using or whatever I was doing, it seemed more comfortable for me to be in that atmosphere, and I accepted that. And whatever came down the pike, I accepted. Simple as that. And I did not know how to endure myself. I knew all the negatives in my life. See, I was so mixed up that pain, I liked the pain, you know, because I didn't know anything else. I kind of, like I said, I accepted pain, and that was the way of life for me, and it seemed comfortable for me, and that's what I did for so many years. But my addiction took off from day one. You know, it tells you once too many thousands is enough. The day I put in anything in my body, I fell in love with because it made me feel different. I did not like myself. I did not like who I was. And this was even long before I started using. You know, I've been around here for a while and I understand the concept of that now. But see, when I first got around here, I thought drugs was the problem. If I got rid of the drugs, Timmy will be okay. And come to find out down the pike a little bit longer, you know, the drugs just got me to these doors, you know. And then when I got to the doors, I had to do some things to change. But anyway, in and out of prison, I accepted things because it was, to me, it was a way of my life. See, I chose to live this way. Now I'm not here to blame anybody, point fingers or nothing like that. I came from a good family, blah, blah, blah. Morals, values, all that good shit was installed on me at an early age, but I chose to go the other way. You know, it seemed to me at the time when I chose to go this way that it was the thing to do. I was doing the right thing. That's how self-centered I was. I didn't care about anybody else around except the way it made me feel. And at the time, you know, I gravitated to all the misfits because the misfits had what I wanted, you know, unmanageability in their life. I loved that shit. You know what I mean? I really did because it was living on the edge. And that's what I did for 22 years. I lived on the edge. Didn't need no responsibility, wouldn't stand up, wouldn't walk up to the plate for anything. You know, what I did was used and misused and abused. That's all I did. Literature tells me live to use, use to live. That's all I did. Woke up in the morning thinking about drugs, fell asleep and dreamt about drugs. That's all I did over and over for 22 years. And whatever came down the pike behind there, you know, second, third, women, whatever it was, if it happened, it happened. But my first love, my only love, my relationship I developed with the drugs, it satisfied me for so many years. But 10 years ago, my last 10 years of active addiction, I wanted to stop. And see, the basic text describes me to a T. You know, but I didn't know how to. You know, I wanted to stop, but I didn't know how to stop. You know, and instead we look at the stopping and not the using. You know what I mean? All I wanted to do when I came around here was stop feeling the way I was feeling. The loneliness, the shame, the guilt. You know, I just wanted to stop feeling that way. So I figure if I take the drugs out of me, it's a good chance that I would change, you know. And at first it worked. You know, it really did work. And it worked for a while, too. Because, see, I didn't know no other way to live. So I had to completely say I was beaten. Surrender means I don't have to fight anymore. And I fought against my disease for so many years. See, I knew it was wrong from day one. But I'm obsessed with it. I'm compulsed on it. I knew what the results was because, see, the revolving door was for me was I break law, go to jail. Go to jail a year, 2 years, whatever it was, pumped up, felt good, but physically I felt good. Mentally I was still really screwed up, you know, but my disease, my thinking told me I was okay. Come back out and you can control it this time. Once again, it deceived me. It fooled me. It told me, just take that one blast. So, like a good addict, I started one again. And, of course, it was off to the races again. But until I admitted that I needed help, it wouldn't come. You know, where I came from, too, dive your boots on. Tough guys, don't squeal. You know, you don't snitch on nobody. Misinformed information, you know, from people who live by the code of the West. You know what I mean? And I took that, you know, see, one of my biggest addictions is fantasy. You know, when I watch a movie, I can put myself right in that place. You know what I mean? And see, reality and fantasy, you know, I got it mixed up. I didn't know which was real. Reality, it didn't exist to me. You know, paying bills, responsibility, it didn't exist. You did it, but I didn't do it. I didn't want it. I don't have nothing to do with it. You know, if I worked, paid my, got money, that was my money. I didn't give. I was greedy. It was simple as that. This is where my disease took me to. At the end of my addiction, I was living in a shooting gallery, all by myself, simple as that. Only time I needed a human being is if I needed a cop for them or whatever I had to do money-wise or if I had to work for you or something like that. But say I was like a rat. I would go get my shit and run right back to my room and get high and isolate. Outside world did not exist. I didn't do nothing outside of the neighborhood that I hung around. And see, another thing I like to share about, see, I thought I was the strong guy on the corner because I was the last man standing. Everybody else either died, went to jail, or moved on with their lives, and I was the last one standing on that same corner, 22 years, wasted time. I stood there, and I seen people come and people go, and of course I thought about it, but in the end, people got on. If it was jail or whatever it was, or got on with their lives, but I stayed on that corner. Went to prison, came back, went to prison, came back, and every time I went to prison, I had reservations, you know. I get out, I get high once, and this is like, they say, doing the same thing, expecting different results. I did it, I know, 10, 15 times, and each time it fooled me. You know what I mean? It takes me a little bit longer to understand things. And what happened was, at the end of my active addiction, I was through. honestly knew it in my heart that the drugs stopped working. And I knew it stopped working for 10 years. I knew this. You know what I mean? Because it didn't get me high no more. It wasn't fun. It was just a whole bunch of chaos and bullshit involved. You know? And I didn't like it. But I had to do it. You know what I mean? I didn't have no other, like many of us addicts do. Get on the methadone program for a while. Instead of shooting this much dope, I would go to morphine or blah, 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 pills or whatever it was. But see, I stayed sedated for so many years that I didn't want to feel. Simple as that. I wanted to feel messed up. I wanted to just be out of my mind. And like I said, I did it for so many years that I missed so much in my life. I have used to have people coming up to me, say, hey man, you did this and did that and shit. And I look back at how insane that is, right? I was walking around not knowing what I was doing. And see, like I said, I used to like living on the edge. I used to like doing that kamikaze shit, you know what I mean, to get attention, you know, riding wheels on motorcycles, jumping over shit, jumping off bridges. I mean, just dumb shit because I wanted to feel like I was accepted, you know what I mean, because everybody clapped. And I got the recognition that I wanted, you know, not knowing how dangerous or how close to the edge I was really was. But anyway, until I got really honest and admitted that drugs controlled everything, you know, I thought for the longest time that I was just touched. I was crazy. You know what I mean? I did shit because I was unique, you know what I mean? Nobody could handle what I could do, you know what I mean? I was gifted, or whatever you want to call it. But when I admitted for the first time that I had a problem, the doors of recovery opened for me. That was like, it was like a big weight lifted off my shoulders, because I admitted it before, because when I went through probation, parole, counseling centers, detoxes, you told them what they wanted to hear. Simple as that. And this time, when I surrendered, I knew I was through it deep in my heart. Internally, I knew I was through, you know. So when I went through a detox and stuff, I'm not here to promote anything. It was one of the best steps I ever took in my life. I've been through detoxes before, and I have always done it for other people. Or I went through detoxes for one drug and stayed on the other drugs while I was going through the detox. You know what I mean? It was just a messed up life. That's the way I was. I thought it was okay the way I was living my life. I wasn't hurting nobody but myself. And I accepted that. You know what I mean? I'm tough. I can handle this. See, I'm a very proud, prideful, egotistic person. You know what I mean? As long as I'm not interfering with your life, I was okay. But by staying around here in recovery for a while, I knew anybody who came in contact with me, I affected. You know what I mean? And I affected a lot of people. Not only loved ones, but just people I did dirt to, you know? But, second step tells me when I came to believe. And that was like, I knew I was insane. No problem. I accepted that. But could I be restored back to sanity? And I looked back at my life, and I couldn't remember, because when I was a kid and shit, I really couldn't remember when I was sane. I remember when I was a good little boy, I played ball and shit like that. Maybe that's when I was sane, but where did I go off the track? Where did I start doing crazy? Where did I go insane at? You know? And, but restored mean I had to have sanity at one point in my life. And that was kind of hard for me to accept, man, because, see, with this street behavior I had, when you call me Crazy Timmy or Mental Joe or whatever it was, it boosts me. You know what I mean? It made me do shit even more and more and more. an ego booster for me. But so when I worked the second step, it wasn't a real big problem. I wrote on it and I accepted that. But really until I got to the third step, when I had to make a decision. See, the basic text tells me this is like the first decision I had to make. No, to me it wasn't. First decision I had to make was stop using. And then I had to make a decision to turn my will and life over to the care of God. When I first came around here, my power, which I knew I wasn't alone because I've seen too many miracles happening in my life. The biggest miracle I saw in my life was not thinking about drugs all the time. You know, it was unbelievable. I could go to sleep and wake up, and I wasn't obsessed with about how to find drugs, what to do this. It was lifted. And that was like, that was my first really, it came clear to me that I wasn't by myself. And I made a decision that I wasn't alone, that I could walk with somebody, which I call God today. This is a spiritual program, not religious, but I choose to call him God, and he was in my life. Not saying he wasn't in my life all my prior years, but I just chose not to use him. He was always there. But when I turned my will over to God and not run on self, things around my life got better, got real better. You know, not saying I'm standing up here and tell you that I don't run on self a lot. You know, I'm not perfect. I take self-will back a lot. You know what I mean? But I also understand that not only when I'm hurting or when I have a problem, I have to ask for help, at least guidance, you know. And what I did was I began to pray. And that took a lot for me because, see, I was raised in religion and went to religious schools, and I did not accept him in my life. What I did was I took it as another class, another subject. And I did not understand the concept of a spirit in my life. See, if I couldn't touch it, it wasn't real. You know what I mean? That's how I grew up. That's what I thought. If I couldn't put my hands on it, it didn't exist. And for so many years, that's what I believed in. See, I used to tell people when I came around here I was atheist, because atheists sound good to me. You know what I mean? Because it was just a word that sounded like you knew what you were saying. And I did believe, but I just chose not to use them as much or at all in my life. Like Gary said, four step wasn't scary for me because I've done it all, what I could remember. And a lot of this stuff pops up over the years and stuff because, see, I stayed so messed up that most of the stuff I did, I can't remember. So if I can't remember, it can't hurt me. Simple as that, man. It doesn't eat me up. It doesn't make me want to use or nothing like that. It doesn't internally eat my stomach up or nothing like that. So what I do is things that bother me, I wrote on my fourth step. And I got through that. You know, because they told me around here the fourth step, you know, to fear it. And I did not fear it. I had a trust that I was going to be all right. I knew the day I put down the drugs that my higher power had my back. And that's what I did, man. I put trust in him. And that's the only thing I could go on, is hope that I could change. Of course, I shared it with him. But I love this, man, because I just shared that this other night. I didn't start changing until I did the sixth step. And the sixth step didn't scare me at first, because when I first came around here, it was like, hair to defects, I ain't got none. I built this person, this illusional person that I developed through my old patterns and behaviors and everything I did. I built him up to my standards, the way I wanted to. You know, so now when I got the character to the sixth step, I had to decide that, see, I came around here, I didn't know what character defects was from jump. I really didn't, so I had to ask my sponsor, I had to ask people in my network what were theirs so they could give me an idea of what it was. See, I came around here, you had to define shit to me. I just didn't understand. I did not pick that shit up easy, you know what I mean? And when they started giving me these character defects, it was like, okay, I got this one. Self-righteous. I'm definitely that. Yeah. Everything they said revolved around fear. Why I did things, why I acted the way I act. You know, fear. And it was like, I've been scared all my life of almost everything I did, everything I thought, and I hid my feelings by using drugs, wearing masks, and doing what I wanted to do, you know, because I could not be myself. I had to be everybody else until I started unmasking myself, these character defects, being made aware of what I was doing, how I was doing it. And see, when I went to my sponsor with it, and he was cut and dry with it. What he told me was, replace the negatives with positives. And I was like, it's a simple program. It was so simple, but I made it so complicated for so many years, or for so many years since I've been in recovery. Because see, I did not understand. And like Gary was talking about, my pride, I didn't want to ask for help. I didn't want to show you I didn't know. So it took me a few years around here just to identify my character defects. I knew there was something wrong. I knew there was, you know, a problem, but I was too ashamed to ask somebody for help. The first time I asked for help was when I got clean. I asked a friend of mine to put me in detox, you know. And see, I tried to do it by myself for so many years, and it seemed like when I first reached out, the first time I reached out, it opened the door for me. It was like it was so easy, but I did not want to submit to it. I just didn't want to give in because, again, we're self-seeking, self-running people, you know, and that's what I did for so many years. I ran on self-will, and where did self-will get me? Got me to the rooms. Until I found the rooms in utter desperation, I found the rooms. I didn't have no other place to go. Honestly, jails did not work. Institutions did not work. I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous through a lot of other institutions and shit, but I did not understand it. I did not want to understand it. So when I first got around here, it was like this, man. It was like, it had to work. I didn't have no other options. You know what I mean? I understood that much in my life. Nothing else was going to work. I thank God today that it does work, because if it didn't, I would probably be institutionalized again or in jail. See, my disease did not want me dead. My disease wanted to play with me for lots more misery and unmanageability in my life. It wanted to keep me out there. And see, if I died, you wouldn't have me no more, my disease. My disease wants me alive so he can just keep me going through suffering. But what I did for my recovery was I got committed. I didn't have no responsibilities in my life. What I had, I kicked it to the curb. You know, I had a child in active addiction. I raised them half-ass father. an active addiction, take him to school, go get high, pick him up from school, go get not for the rest of the night. But I did a good job. You know, I mean, that's what I kept telling myself, man, right? And by the grace of God, he's 18 and just went to the Navy the other day, right? Not saying that he's not messed up in, because of my behavior and my active addiction, but hopefully it, you know, he's seen all the misery and all the unmanageability through my life that he don't have to participate in it. But anyway, what I did was made a commitment to myself that I was going to stay clean. And when I first got around here, I didn't have a clue how long I was going to do it. I just said I was going to do it. You know, I didn't put no expectations on my recovery. I just wanted to stay clean. And one day at a time, that's what I've been doing. They told me to get involved. And I was like, see, I didn't have no other place to go. The streets didn't work. I didn't know how to deal with society, so why not deal with a bunch of addicts? You know what I mean? It was like, okay, Narcotics Anonymous. I like narcotics. And then I said, I'll go here because it's like a VFW club. That's what I thought it was. I could go and just socialize and just have fun. And didn't understand what Narcotics Anonymous did. Didn't want to understand. All I did wanted to do was have a place to go. So when I came to the rooms, they told me to get involved. So that's what I did. I got a home group, got a sponsor. Right away, start working steps. And the steps are the way up and out. You know, until I started working the steps, I didn't change. But, see, some people say they don't like the word process, but it is my process. And what I did was I used the tools that was presented to me, you know, like the home group. I got involved, coffee maker. Felt a part of. Went up to the chain. I have done all the commitments, you know what I mean, held positions, was dependent on. People used to give me keys to open churches and halls and stuff like that. You know, from a person that my parents would not let me in their house to a church giving me keys to their places and stuff. So they saw something in me I didn't see. So that gave me hope and faith that I was doing the right thing. And I felt internally that I was doing the right thing because people started trusting me. People started talking to me, started to, look at me instead of run away from me. You know what I mean? For so many years, I walked in the street and people would say, oh, that's Timmy. And they would cross the street, you know what I mean, or turn around, hold their pocketbooks and run. You know what I mean? Because I was a crud ball out there, you know? And this gave me a boost on my self-esteem because I started feeling better about myself and people finally started recognizing me because, see, I dug a hole so far that nobody could see. You know what I mean? Like I said, I just ran out of the hole just to cop and ran back. People didn't see me. You know what I mean, that much. And a lot of times I did it at nighttime. And you definitely don't see people at nighttime. But they said you have to get involved. And I also, I took it to another level. I got involved with service work. I have to give it back. Because if I want to keep it, I have to give it back. So I'm heavily involved in H&I right now, area service. I do everything possible to learn about my disease and about Narcotics Anonymous. You know, this stuff did not happen overnight. You know, it's not like I just came here and got completely involved. It was presented to me when I felt I was entirely ready, when I was ready. Not entirely ready, because I'm never entirely ready for some things. But when I was ready and wanted to move up the ladder, you know, I started to grow. Simple as that. You know, the stuff around here, you know, just staying clean works for a while, but in the long run, it ends. You know what I mean? You had to do more for yourself. You know what I mean? You had to start finding out about what makes you do things, what, you know, how to fix things, and how to keep moving ahead. You know, they say if you stop growing, man, you know, you would keep slide, you could do a backslide. You know what I mean? And see, one of the things that keeps me around here is fear. I'm like, I'm scared of using again. I know where I've been at. And they suggest, or they tell you, whatever you want to say, about things to do around here. And see, I didn't have no other life besides NA when I first got here. NA gave me a life worth living today, you know. If it wasn't for Narcotics Anonymous, I wouldn't have a job. I wouldn't have things that I work for that makes me feel good about myself. But the biggest blessing is I got myself back. I got freedom. The freedom from active addiction, the freedom from my mind, you know. I'm not saying my mind doesn't play tricks on me and don't try to get me at times, and it does. You know, I have a lot of different issues, you know, that comes up. Right now, the drugs are arrested, but I have other stuff that comes up at times, and I just have to have the tools to fight against it. And that's where the 12 steps come in. That's where sponsorship comes in. That's where just being around another addict who can understand, who can feel you, or who can direct you to a person who's been through it. You know, the biggest lesson another biggest lesson is meeting new people. You know, for so many years, I didn't need nobody. You know, and reality is that human beings need each other. Simple as that. You know, and if I don't get back to my roots, back to people that, you know, that best understand me, I won't recover. You know, I guess that's about it. I hope it is. Anyway, it's small meeting, but I love it, man. You know, I hope everybody has fun this weekend. And with that, I keep coming back.
Thank you, Jim. I'd like to thank our speaker.